To the family of God who call themselves Parkwood. Grace and mercy and peace of our Lord be with you. It is an honor for us to be here today. And we had planned to be here anyway and sent our reservations in, and then Mike gives me a call. How about doing this for me? I said, sure. It's just an honor to be able to be here and to see so many familiar faces. This was the years that we were here were wonderful, and to my family, this is home. Anytime they think about church, this is where they belong, and we're just so honored to be in here. And I also want to say you guys have done a marvelous work with this building. It is amazing. It's beautiful. I have had three experiences with this building. I met my wife in college, and my wife and her family have been here since the beginning. And so coming to church was nothing unusual. So we come to this very place, and you know the Spirit of the Lord was in the building. And I just about giggled myself into embarrassment, because then the floor was tile. How many of you remember that? Tile floor and blue folding padded chairs. And that every time you stood up and then sat back down, there was this big rush of air. The first time I heard that, I just about giggled myself into embarrassment. I thought, the Spirit of the Lord is in this place indeed. And then we get, you know, in 88, when we come to, we were contacted by you, and we're going, do you know who we are? My wife's family was part of this church. You, Pastor Corder, you married us. Do you remember that? I know you've married many, but so it was great. You never get called back to your home church, but that was a really wonderful experience. So we are just honored and blessed to be here today. And for those of you who missed the after fellowship entertainment, I wish you could have seen Bill Archer and I. It was pouring down rain. I mean, it was raining so hard. Bill and I just could not figure out how to get to our cars without getting drowned like rats. And the light bulb came on. Oh, there's this door across from the water fountain. That's where our cars are. We'll just go out that door and be right there and then drive the car up. So we go down the hall, got all the way to the end, and went, wait a minute, we've missed something. We were just chatting. Maybe we just missed the door. So we turned around and came back, and all the way to the, couldn't find the door. Went down the hall again, couldn't find the door. Finally, it's like, okay, there was a door here 20 years ago. And apparently you have relocated, or made a wall into that door for handicap entrance, and I appreciate that. But we did get wet getting our cars last night. But it was entertaining watching Bill and I look for the door that wasn't there. Then the one other thing that I remember mostly, this was mentioned briefly last night, the word trailer, which seems to be still my legacy here. We were so desperate for space in those days. This young man didn't know any better, and he just did whatever he thought was right. And so he ordered a trailer, had it delivered, we hooked it up and started using it. Well, it worked great till the leaves fell off the trees, and everybody in Fairfax could see this trailer in a no-trailer zone, and then that started the journey of additional space in the correct way. Although I think I'm going to hold everyone with any military experience accountable with me for that. And here's why. Because if you guys had helped me camouflage that thing, they would have never seen it. And we could have used it and still been using it. Who knows? But anyway, it is good to be here. Again, we are honored. We're going to take a scripture passage from Numbers 13. And maybe you don't spend a lot of time in Numbers, but it's a pretty good book. So find Numbers 13, verse 26, and let's stand together as we read God's word in his honor. Numbers 13, verse 26. The men went back to Moses, Aaron, and the entire Israelite community in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. And they brought back a report for them and the whole community, and they showed them the fruit of the land. Then they reported to Moses, We went into the land where you sent us, and indeed, it is flowing with milk and honey, and here are some of its fruit. However, the people living in the land are strong, and the cities are large and fortified. We also saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites are living in the land of the Negev, and the Hittites and Jebusites and Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live by the sea and along the Jordan. Then Caleb quieted the people in the presence of Moses and said, "We must go up and take possession of the land, because we can certainly conquer it." But the men who had gone up with him responded, "We can't go up against the people because they're stronger than we are." So they gave a negative report to the Israelites about the land they had scouted. "The land we passed through to explore is one that devours its inhabitants, and all the people we saw in it are men of great size. We even saw the Nephilim there. The offspring of Anak were descended from the Nephilim. To ourselves, we seemed like grasshoppers, and we must have seemed the same to them." Then the whole community broke into loud cries, and the people wept that night. And all the Israelites complained about Moses and Aaron, and the whole community told them, "If only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness, why is the Lord bringing us into a land to die by the sword? Our wives and little children will become plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt?" So they said to one another, "Let's appoint a leader and go back." Then Moses and Aaron fell down with their faces to the ground in front of the whole assembly of the Israelite community. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who were among them, who scouted out the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite community, "The land we passed through and explored is extremely good land. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will bring us into this land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and give it to us. Only don't rebel against the Lord. Don't be afraid of the people of the land, for we will devour them. Their protection has been removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Don't be afraid of them." While the whole community threatened to stone them, the glory of the Lord appeared to all the Israelites at the tent of the meeting. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Be seated. Caleb, an old hero with a bold dream. I'm going to present to you five challenges, and you should be grateful. Because my wife says, "How's this going?" I said, "Well, it's about this big." And I worked on it some more, and she asked me again. I said, "Well, it's about this big." And she goes, "Dear, they like you, but they don't like you that much." So it's this down to here. So five challenges from this passage I want to leave with you. First challenge, Caleb was a courageous encourager. A courageous encourager. You know, everyone needs encouragement. Everyone needs a pat on the back, a word of acknowledgement. And Caleb, he tried to encourage the Israelites to do the right thing because he knew this was more than a military conquest. This was a spiritual crisis. And the people needed encouragement, and he tried to be that spiritual cheerleader. Numbers 13:30. He used words like, "We must, we can." In verse 14, verse 8, you can almost feel the rhythm of the cheer. "Don't be afraid. We will devour. The Lord is with us. Don't be afraid. We can do this." He tried so hard to encourage them. And it was courageous because he and Joshua were 2 out of 10. Out of the 12, 10 others opposing them, spreading bad reports. So it took courage for him to stand up. A person possessing the gift of encouragement has a unique ability to help others gain that positive emotional and spiritual perspective on their circumstances. Caleb was a guy who always saw the glasses half full, never half empty. Encouragers are at their best when they can motivate Christ's followers to persevere and to strive for the accomplishment of God's mission. So the question of this first challenge to you is, are you an encourager? Are you a courageous encourager? Do you let people know when they're doing a good work? And if you do encourage others, do you give them an encouraging word only when things are going well? Blessings are good, but sometimes in the middle of crisis, in the middle of decision, people need encouragement as well. You know, it's so easy for us to be spectators at church, and we've designed it to our disadvantage in that regard. We invest in others to do everything for us, and we can get trapped into just being here and watching. Don't fall for it. Be a spiritual cheerleader. Be an encouragement to each other. Caleb also believed that God was going to do what he said he was going to do. You've heard the phrase, seeing is believing. You show me proof, and I've got it. If you're from Missouri, you know you're the show me state. Even Thomas, I'm not going to believe in Christ's resurrection until I see his scars and touch them with my own hands. Good thing Christ gave him a chance to do that. But Jesus also said in John 20, because you have seen me, you believe. Blessed are those who have not seen me. Why did the Israelites not believe? For heaven's sakes, they were eyewitnesses of what God had done. We believe based on what we read and understand from God's holy word. But Caleb and the other Israelites, they had seen God in action. They had learned all the historical acts of God as they grew up and journeyed through their Jewish faith and culture. They were eyewitnesses to God's greatness, like the plagues, the parting of the Red Sea, the manna and the quail that came daily, water from rocks, Ten Commandments coming down, written by God himself, the construction of the tabernacle, the worship of the one true God. Why did they not believe that God could defeat any obstacle present in taking that promised land? They didn't believe because they thought they were doing it in their own power. They forgot that God was doing the work. They looked at themselves and said, I can't physically do this. I can't win. They did not trust God. And you know, God didn't get it either. Because in 14:21 of Numbers, God writes, yet as surely as I live and as the whole earth is filled with the Lord's glory, none of you will ever see the land I swore to the fathers. The Bible is full of God's promises for you and me. God's promises are for real. Listen to what Peter says in chapter 1, verse 3. God's divine power has given us everything required for life and godliness through the knowledge of Jesus, who called us by his own glory and goodness. And by this power, God has given us very great and precious promises, so that through these promises, you may share in God's divine nature and escape the corruption that is in the world. God will do what he says he will do. Caleb believed it. And I challenge you to believe it as well. Caleb also loved God completely. If you continue into chapter 14 at verse 24, God writes, but since my servant Caleb has a different spirit and has followed me completely, I will bring him into the land where he has gone, and his descendants will inherit it. Caleb had a different spirit, and he followed God completely. And that statement isn't Caleb's proclamation. It's God's observation of what Caleb was doing. He had a different spirit. And when we become believers, God's spirit dwells with us, and it makes us different. It changes our thoughts. It changes our actions. Now, depending on which scripture you use, the New International or some of the others, it may say completely or wholeheartedly. But either way, both words are adverbs, and they describe action. Caleb was not just a man of words. He was a man of action, and his actions were marked by an unconditional commitment an unstinting devotion, and unreserved enthusiasm to the full extent of all of God's possibilities. What's God observing in your life? Can God proclaim that you are loving Him completely and wholeheartedly? Do your actions bear out your love for Christ? One of the things I miss about being in this area is the concerts of the National Christian Choir that rehearses over in Maryland. And one of my favorite songs that they sing is called Yes, Lord. And the chorus goes, Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes is our answer. What's the question going to be? And that's a perspective that we need to grasp, where it's about God. Yes, Lord, I'm ready. I will do. What question? What do you have me to do? Challenge number 4. Move forward when God directs. Continuing on in Numbers 14, verse 26. Moses has intervened for the people because God was ready just to clean deck and move on. But the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron and said, How long must I endure this community that keeps complaining about me? I've heard the Israelites' complaints that they make against me and tell them, As surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will do exactly as I heard you say. You'll die in the wilderness. All of you who were registered with the census, who are 20 years old or more, because you've complained, you will die in the wilderness. I swear that none of you will enter the land I promised to settle you in except Caleb and Joshua. After being persuaded by false testimony, the Israelites chose not to enter the promised land. They made that decision out of their human ability to conquer this, and they refused to go in, and God was not happy. But God proclaimed that they would have no entry into the promised land for 40 years, one year for each day the spies were checking out the land. And here's the thing I want to say. And as a result, the Israelites disqualified themselves from receiving the reward, the joy, the promise of a new homeland. They were still God's people. They had not lost their salvation. But because they did not obey God, they lost out on the reward, the joy that God had planned for them. And this is a significant event in Scripture. And apparently it must have been repeated generation after generation, for even Paul referred to this and warned the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 10. He warned them to seek and follow God and to resist the temptations of sin, lest they too disqualify themselves from the reward, the joys that God has planned for them. When God leads, follow. Go forward. When God speaks, obey His commands. When God closes the door, look somewhere else for an opening. God always has your best in mind. He will never lead you in the wrong direction. Love God wholeheartedly. Believe that God will do what He says He's going to do. Be a courageous encourager. Move forward when God leads. And finally, have a spiritual dream. This is one of my favorite verses this morning. Fly over to Joshua chapter 14. And there we read verse 10. As you see, the Lord has kept me alive these 45 years as He promised. Now this is Caleb talking to Moses. I should have given this introduction. They've gone into the promised land. They've made their key battles. They're dividing up the real estate. Each tribe is getting a section. Caleb is asking for his portion. As you see, the Lord has kept me alive these 45 years as he promised, and since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel was still journeying in the wilderness, here I am today, 85 years old. I am still as strong today as I was the day that Moses sent me out. My strength for battle and for daily task is now as it was then. So give me this hill country, the Lord promised me on that day, because you heard then that the Anak are there, as well as large fortified cities. And perhaps the Lord will be with me, and I will drive them out, as the Lord promised. Then Joshua blessed Caleb and gave him the Hebron hills as an inheritance. How many do you know that can make the claim that they are as strong at 85 as they are at 40? Caleb was indeed an able-bodied man. But Caleb also had a spiritual dream. He dreamed of being in the Hebron hills. He had walked through that land during the spying, and he dreamed that he was going to claim this piece of real estate for himself, and he longed to be there. God had promised Caleb he would live to enter that promised land. And you can imagine that every year he had to wait for God's promise to be filled. Caleb was probably strategizing his new home, designing where he would live, figuring out where the flocks were going to graze, remembering all the good things he had seen during his spy visit, making plans to deal with the problems that he was going to face. And Caleb was going to have a few problems. The land that Caleb wanted was occupied by the descendants of Anak. They were real-life giants. They were big people. They ruled because they were literally king of the hill. Caleb could have had any other place he wanted, but he chose the very area, the very people that scared the Israelites to death and kept them from following God into the promised land to begin with. One of my favorite musicals, and I'll, for a lot of reasons, is South Pacific. And there's a little song, Happy Talk. And one of the favorite phrases in that is, you gotta have a dream. If you don't have a dream, how are you gonna have a dream come true? Dreams are motivating. Having a vision, an idea, generates energy and momentum and fuels passions to see it come to be. Dreams have come true here. But each one of those accomplishments started with a simple idea, a vision, somebody's dream. And when one dream is accomplished, I believe there's another dream around the corner. Every church should have a dream. It was challenging last night in the fellowship time to listen to your hopes and dreams being expressed on the whiteboard. Churches should never rest and feel that they have arrived, that they've accomplished or completed that mission. And that's a temptation when you are at your age and we have arrived. Things are nice. Things are comfortable. It doesn't echo. There's no rush of air. We have carpet. We have pews. But it's not over. There are still dreams to be dreamed. There's work to be done. I had a friend remind me recently that God isn't finished with us ever until we arrive in heaven to be with him. Challenges from Caleb. To be a courageous encourager. To believe that God is going to do what he says he's going to do. To love God completely and wholeheartedly. To go when he leads. And to dream a dream for him. Those are the challenges for you. I want to take a liberty, and I want to paraphrase as a final blessing to you. Joshua 14:10 and Hebrews 12:1, which was the inspiration for the choir's piece. And thank you guys for just reading my mind and Joe picking the right song. It was perfect. They didn't do that. That was God. Here's the paraphrase. The Lord has kept Parkwood alive these 45 years as he promised. You are still as strong today as you were when Parkwood began. Your strength for ministry, Your strength for mission is as strong now as it was 45 years ago. Remember, your ministry and mission are being witnessed by all of the Parkwood saints who have gone on to be with the Lord. Therefore, the family of God called Parkwood, lay aside every obstacle. Lay aside every sin that would keep you from doing God's ministry and mission with excellence, and strongly follow God in the mission He still has for Parkwood. Keeping your eyes on Jesus, the source and perfecter of our faith. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, again, we just say thank you for having the honorable opportunity to be able to be here today, to celebrate the work of this congregation who has been faithful to you these 45 years. It is true, God, that they are still as strong as they were then. They are still passionate about you. They still want to do ministry and mission with excellence. Therefore, God, bless them. Give them the resources they need. Give them the dreams that you have for them. May they go forward when you lead. Help them to encourage each other to love you wholeheartedly and to believe that you will do what you say you will do. Bless this family called Parkwood. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. In a moment, we're going to sing a hymn as a hymn of invitation, a hymn of closing. It's hymn number 426, and I changed it. But I want to call your attention to the banners that are on the wall. In the early days, when the scripture was not in the language of the people, worship was a very visual teaching experience. Banners, pictures, stained glass, all kinds of icons to help us remember and to understand what God was made and hung in church. And these banners can be encouragements to you today. Mercy. God showed mercy to the Israelites. They blew it. They blew it big. But God forgave them. And God waits to forgive you. Perhaps God is moving you. There's a confession. There's a sin that has to be expressed, or God is faithful and He's ready to forgive you. Hope. Caleb spent 45 years in a hopeful sense waiting for that promise to be fulfilled. Jeremiah 29 says, God declares, I know the plans I have for you, plans for your welfare, not for disaster, to give you a future, to give you a hope. Joy. Oh, the joy that Caleb must have felt when he finally crossed into the promised land and saw his dream come true. John writes, I have no greater joy than this, but to hear that my children are walking in the faith. That's the message you guys send in your community. You walk in faith. So during this time, offer a prayer for Parkwood's future. Give thanks to God's past. Victory. Caleb, if you read the rest of the chapters, and I encourage you to, it's good reading. Caleb had victory over the Anak. His whole family took over the land. That became his possession. We can have victory. We can have victory in Jesus. And it's yours for the claiming today. And that's the song that we're going to sing. Hymn number 426, Victory in Jesus. Whatever your decision is today, Whatever prayer you need to offer, Pastor Mike will be here to receive you. Let's stand and sing.